Welcome to Grace United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you are here for worship today, to be with one another, and to be in God's presence together. Pastor Dave Swinton has an announcement to make on behalf of the congregation. So, Dave?
Well, I was so sorry that I wasn't able to be here last week when we had the marvelous send-off, I hear, for Josh Morgan and his family. Josh has been our organist for about 8 years. And lost in all of those announcements was our announcement that Ann Gurdum now will be our organist at 10:15 service. So Ann is back behind the organ right now. She should be, and we want to... And most of you all know Ann well. She's been part of our music department for the last several years. She grew up in our church here. She has her degree and an advanced degree in music and church music. And we're so pleased to have her back with us and back behind the organ, and fortunate for her dedication to the church, to her faith, and to music as well. So we're so pleased to have her being a part of that. Also, in interest of updates as well, we've begun interviewing people for chancel choir director and youth choir directors, and we hope to have announcements for that in the next couple of weeks as well. We've just been so very pleased with the people that we've talked to, and so we're looking forward to some very good news with that as well. So, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. These other things to bring to your attention, today being the fifth Sunday of the month, we have the fifth Sunday offering, which is today is going to be going to the central shelter services. And there will be a bucket that comes along. You are not supposed to kick it when it gets to you. You are to put some money in there. And anything that you have in terms of coins or folding money to go in there, all of that money in the bucket will be going to central shelter services for people experiencing homelessness. I've been asked to announce that there's no Grace Diners today. It may be listed in the bulletin, but there is not any Grace Diners today. There's other groups that are meeting for a meal and other activities, including the group that's known as Amos that does organizing in the community. And they'll be meeting downstairs, I believe. It's downstairs, isn't it, Dave?
Part of that, we're serving a light lunch after church, and the Church and Society group is sponsoring house meetings. We'll eat together and then break into small groups, and for Amos, and they're organizing. If you're familiar with the community organizing group that Amos is a part of, there is nothing that comes into our community from outside, a national focus on issues. All of it comes from within central Iowa, from house meetings like these, where people talk about the kinds of issues that they're facing in their lives, and not just issues, like problems of day-to-day, opportunities that we have, what keeps you awake at night, what gets you up in the morning. That's are the kinds of things that we're going to ask after lunch today, and we'd like you to be a part of that, because this is where we, through this process, determine what are the next issues or the next... community issues that Amos is going to organize around. So if you're available for that at all, if what you have in mind for lunch really doesn't sound so great, come and be a part of it. So thanks.
And I just want to lay out that I've been going back and forth in my mind this week. Am I going to attend that? Am I not? And I thought, gosh, there are situations in our community that I care deeply about. And I said, somebody ought to do something about such and such. And well, this is our opportunity, friends, to come together and talk about those things. So if you can stay for part of it, stay for all of it, it's going to be worthwhile our time. Well, we thank God for these opportunities for fellowship and for service. Let us take a moment to center our hearts on God.
Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me?
Do not forget nor turn away from the words of her mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you.
Love her, and she will guard you.
Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland.
She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. If you've been coming the last few weeks, you remember that at the beginning of June, we passed out several sheets of paper to everybody and asked you just to write down, what's the best advice that you've heard in your life? And so people wrote down either the best advice they've heard or at least what they could think of at the time. And when we put that list together, we realized it looked like a list of proverbs and that they fell into certain categories as well. And proverbs are like those things, those bits of wisdom that you hear, you may learn and adopt, or you may have to confirm them by learning the hard way. And they're those things that we learn from the people before us. Learn about justice and righteousness and equality. And so our theme today is where we consider advice around anger. So people wrote these.
No one can ever make you mad. Never go to bed mad. Always pray for guidance. Forgive if possible. Don't let the turkeys get you down.
Proverbs 30:33 says, for as pressing milk produces curds and pressing the nose produces blood, so pressing anger produces strife. Now, nothing will take over your mind and affect your body like anger does. It'll pull your strings and it'll make your decisions for you if you let it. But does it have to be like that? How can we know ourselves better and live more peacefully without being controlled by anger or those that we feel make us angry? So those are the answers that we're going to seek today. How can our faith inform us? How can those who have gone before us inform us as well? Let us now sing together.
Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Now, friends, I'd like to invite you to stand and let's sing together hymn number 427 from the Red Hymnal, the first two verses and the last two verses of Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life.
Thank you.
as Christ welcomed enemies and friends, outcasts and leaders, foreigners and neighbors. Let us open our hearts and homes and lives. Let us be Christ to everyone we meet. Peace be with you. Let us show signs to one another of welcome and peace. For our children's moments as we sing.
I love to the story will be my theme in glory. The old story of Jesus and his love.
Oh, hi, come on down. Oh, good, yeah. Come on, have a seat. Okay. Am I coming close? Oh, good. It's great to see you. Well, good morning. How are you? Oh, it's so good to see you. Hi, Larry. Come on, sit with us. And we have more coming in. Hi. Well, I brought my little guitar up with me so that we could learn a new song. And I don't know, maybe you've heard it before. I'll sing it for you, and then I'd like you to sing it with me. Maybe even we'll ask the congregation to do it, too. It's a song I've sung with the kids for a lot of years. It's been a while since I've done it. If God can love turkeys, God can love you. You are a turkey, but I am one too. So if you're lonely, wow, remember the truth. If God can love turkeys,
what?
God can love you. God can love you.
Think you can sing that along with me? All right. Can you help us out? So, if God can love turkeys, God can love you. You are a turkey, but I am one too. Let's sing that much together. You ready?
If God can love turkeys, God can love you. You are a turkey.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
But I am one too.
So if you're lonely, remember the truth.
So if you're lonely, wow, remember the truth.
If God can love turkeys, what? God can love you. Ready?
If God can love turkeys, God can love you.
Very nice. That was really touching. So that's a silly song, isn't it? Yeah. It's a silly song, but I think there's a really good message in there too. And it's saying that we may act like turkeys sometimes, like we don't know what we're doing. I don't want to offend anyone's turkeys, though. I don't. Or we may make mistakes, not even just like turkeys. We may make mistakes that turkeys would never do. But God loves us. God loves the people who make mistakes and maybe even hurt our feelings sometimes. But then we remember that we've made mistakes too, and God loves us. And it's just a really important thing to remember. And I think especially when we're frustrated, maybe with ourselves or with others, that said, you know, God made you and God made me. God made turkeys, and God loves all of us. And it doesn't mean that everything that we do is right, but it does mean that we're loved and we're gifted and that God gives us second chances and third chances, and that we should remember that for ourselves and to do that for one another too. Okay, so who's a turkey? Yeah, you are, and I am too, right? Yeah, and who does God love? You and me. Right. Let's have a prayer together. Could you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for your love. And we pray that we can love other people like you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Some of you, I'm sure, have, do they still call them smartphones? I don't know if that makes sense anymore, but some of you have phones that can be on the internet or download programs. If you have not already done so, I would encourage you to download a Bible program. There are many of them out there, but two of them that I personally use, it's called YouVersion, and then also Bible Gateway, and there are just dozens of translations available right at your fingertips. You never know when you're going to be looking for a verse and need to look it up, and there's a wonderful search possibility as well on those apps. So if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do that. The scripture reading today from the Psalms is Psalm 145, starting with verse 8. God is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love. God is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all God's handiwork. All that you have made gives thanks to you, O God. All your faithful ones bless you. They speak of your glory, of your kingdom. They talk about your power to inform all human beings about God's power and the majestic glory of God's kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingship that lasts forever. Your rule endures for all generations. God is trustworthy in all that God says and faithful in all that God does. God supports all who fall down, straightens up all those who are bent low. All eyes look to you, hoping, and you give them their food right on time, opening your hand and satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all God's ways, faithful in all God's deeds.
is from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of our church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, seven times 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and his children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord said that the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me back what you owe.' Then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay back the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were greatly angered and distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. And so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now, we always, we almost always, if not always, hear this talked about as a passage about forgiveness. It says that it is. We'll talk a bit about forgiveness later for certain. But I chose this passage because we were going to talk about anger this morning. And did you notice how often anger came up in this passage? Who was the first one to be angry in this story? It was the king, right? He was settling accounts with all of his servants, all of his slaves, and one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is about what a regular day laborer would earn in a whole year. So owed him 10,000 years of salary. It may as well say he owed him a gazillion dollars. I mean, it just was outrageously hyperbolic. And the servant said, "Please have mercy on me, and I will pay you back." And so the king went from being angry with him for owing that much money to mercy. That's how his anger went into mercy. But then who was the next one to be angry? That servant, that very servant. He said, as he was leaving, a fellow servant came in who owed him just like 100 days' wages, 100 denarii. And he grabbed him by the throat and then had him thrown into prison, demanded it to be paid back. So he was angry then about that. And his response was violence and then retribution. Who's next to be angry? It's the other servants. They see that happening. They hear about it, and they're angry and distressed. It bothers them. This is not fair. And then they go back to the king. He gets really angry, and there's no forgiving just then. Well, he has him thrown into prison, and there's torture until it's paid back. So I guess if there's payback, then he won't be angry anymore. us. There's a lot of payback in that. I want you to pay back the debt. There's payback retribution. The whole thing is seen as what who owes what and what's right and what's just. There was some mercy thrown in there, but it's not recognized. That's what's going on in this story. I want to talk about how people respond in anger, either avoiding the anger or how they act on anger, especially how we respond in anger. And so we've had our fundraising. We've raised a lot of money for our building and our AV equipment. And so we were able to buy this. Remember, we asked people for the advice that they had heard. And I want to talk about several people who wrote about this topic. And the first one is, never go to bed angry. I know that not all of you can read it from there. Maybe we'll be able to afford something a little bigger later on. Never go to bed angry. Have you heard that before? Yeah, we have often heard it. There's in the Bible it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Never go to bed angry is often advice given to young married couples or couples of any age. And there are a couple of ways around this. You can sleep on the floor, you know, or the couch or the doghouse. You cannot sleep at all, I suppose. That's a way of avoiding the problem. If you don't go to bed angry, you have to address it, but otherwise you're avoiding it. I heard a term a few months ago called reverse stalking. That's when you study somebody's schedule so that you can avoid them. Wherever they are, you can be somewhere else so that you don't have to ever confront them or be confronted by them or, I guess, just be around them at all. But the problem with avoidance when you're angry with someone or you've been hurt, or perhaps if you know they're angry with you, is that nobody ever gets a chance to hear how they wronged another, how it felt to be wronged. Nobody ever gets a chance to apologize. No one gets a chance to just fix the problem. It just keeps going on and on and on. And it hurts when it's something that really matters. It works on your body. Have you ever had that sense? If you just lose your cool, my body doesn't feel right for 2 days, whether I visibly lose my cool or if I just hold it in. It is not a good place to be, to continue to avoid others or avoid fixing a problem. But if you address it, it will probably be awkward. It'll at least be hard to bring up. Maybe the other person will make it fine and it's no problem at all, but it'll probably be awkward. But so much better than living with that tension. And then you can address if there was a misunderstanding or a miscommunication, which in my experience is 80% of it, maybe along with just the thing happened, but the person that did it didn't have the motivations that I thought they had or vice versa. It wasn't intended at all. When, if you have that conversation, then you can come up with it and solve that problem, or at least work toward an understanding. Let's see. Could we go to the next slide here? This is one my mom told me. No one can ever make you mad. Have you heard that? Boy, I remember when I was a kid, I thought, that makes no sense at all. Of course they made me mad because she did that and he did this and I'm mad. Or, you know, if you ever tried to break up a fight with, not just young ones too, but she hit me, so I had to hit her back. It's like people are controlling us like puppets. And so parents or others try to explain, no, your anger is something that is inside you. How many situations do we have in everyday where if there's a problem, we solve it. If there's a conversation that needs to be had, we have that conversation. If there's an irritation, we may choose to ignore it. There's things like that happen every day and we don't think much about it. What's different about the things that happen that then come with this emotion?
It may be very similar to other things that happened during that day, or if somebody else did that, it wouldn't make you feel like this. That wouldn't make your blood pressure rise and your muscles tighten and your mind just fix on it and not be able to go away. That's the anger. That's the emotion, the extra that comes in. What is it that personalizes it? If we have a self-awareness that it's something going on in us as well, we may very well have been wrong. The thing may very well have happened, but this other part of it, this emotion, is something that we at least need to be aware of. I found that often the strongest emotions come when we feel a sense of shame or embarrassment about what had happened to us. Somebody exposed us. They did something, and we feel we may not acknowledge any sense of guilt around it, but it may come out as, if I had only done this, or if that day I would have not shown up there or done something different. Somewhere we feel a responsibility, and we may not have a responsibility, but we feel exposed or helpless or under somebody else's control. This is where some of the emotions can come from. Or that somebody put us in, or somebody else we know in or love in danger, or we feel helpless. To be aware, at least aware of these emotions that are coming up in us, is a very important part of not being under the control of our emotions, or under control of someone who has done something to us who may not care about us or who is openly hostile. They don't get to decide whether or not you're going to be a happy person or whether you're going to move on. But that's work that you can do. The next one went with, I think it was the person that said, never go to bed angry, then added, always pray for guidance. Always good advice. What do we pray for in guidance when we're angry or if we're trying to be at peace with our world and with our lives? We can pray for perspective. Our meditation can help us get there as well. We can think, is this thing that I'm irritated about, will it matter in 10 years or 10 days or 10 minutes from now? It won't matter if this person cut me off. There's no lingering problem with this. I don't have to be mad about that. Or we may determine that no, it does matter, and it is something that we need to address. So we can pray for the kind of courage or strength that it'll take to talk to someone who has upset us. Or we can pray for perspective to see a way through. What is an answer that would help resolve this difficulty? We could ask somebody else to pray along with us. How are we going to resolve this situation among us? And it can help us with the emotional pain that we feel. If we have been felt shame or embarrassment, if we realize that we are just frustrated and angry all of the time, to ask God for help with that. Our prayer can be prayer for peace, for perspective. Also, in our prayer time, we can be reminded. Reminded of those times when we have felt when we have had similar feelings or when we've had something similar happen to us and we thought we were at the end of what we could possibly tolerate, but we made it through. That we thought last time when we were down and depressed that everything was only ever going to get worse. That's really how you feel when you're depressed or feeling hopeless. It'll only get worse. But it didn't. It got better. We can remember that in our prayer time, in our meditation. We can also remember, like the turkey song, that I've done things wrong, I've made mistakes before, and I've been given second chances and third chances. Perhaps I can do that for the person who is angering me right now. Those are things that prayer can help us do, as well as help us either recognize the power that we do have in a situation. you know, other people may be in this situation too. What if I talk to other people? They can help me, I can help them, or we can help solve this issue that's going on. There's quite a few people who are feeling pretty angry all the time now, and maybe we can together come up with something. We have power in a situation, often more than we realize. Sometimes we really don't have a lot of power. It's a situation that is not entirely up to you or to me. There is somebody else who continually does something wrong, and they may not change. And we have to accept a situation. It may be a situation at work that we're going to endure for a while, or we may say, there's no way I'm going to accept this situation, and I'm going to leave the situation, the relationship, or something like that. Either one of those, seeing our power or seeing where we are really helpless in that particular situation, either one of those is freeing. It's freeing. It gives the initiative back to us. It frees us from, well, like that jail that the servant was put in at the end of our story. It's a jail. We can't move. If we're at a place where before we couldn't move on, now we can. And it's one of my favorites. I believe Anne said her dad used to say this to her. Don't let the turkeys get you down. Is what reminded me of the song, right? It may be something that's ongoing. It may not be something that's personal in your life. It may be something in society. It's going to be lasting for a long time. And you can't be angry all the time. You are going to have to persevere. It may be something that you're angry about and you should be angry, or that it really is somebody else's fault, that it is something that is not acceptable. See, anger can be good in that it brings passion and emotion. What's the word there? Emotion. It helps us to move. There's times where it's not right to just sit back and just be angry or resentful. We need to act on it. And anger can do that. And often we're angry because we know how things should be. We've recognized the direction that things should take, that we have values and we thought they were shared values. And anger helps us to bring passion to that understanding. But we know all the destructive things that anger can do. And the turkeys will get you down, or you'll be getting yourself down, if you allow anger to be accompanied by hatred and contempt or depression or a constant sense of helplessness, demonizing other people. That will not lead you or the world into a good place. But can you imagine anger also including love or hope? Love for people who have been wronged and you're angry on their behalf, but also love for a person whose heart needs to be changed, for a person who you know would benefit if the world was changed. How can our anger also include those things as well? How do we sustain then? Well, I think worship is a great way to do it. Community with each other. Telling the stories of where God has brought changes in the past, how God has delivered us and redeemed us in the past, what God's promises for the future are. And in worship, we learn language about that. We sing songs. We encourage one another because we cannot do it on our own. Worship. Our faith, that is that vision that we're all drawn to. It's that song about a dream that we sang about in the middle of our service. It is a dream that we're called to. Worship reminds us of all of that. And then someone wrote, forgive. And then put in parentheses, if possible. And I feel like I know exactly what that person was going through, because it always happens when we talk about forgiveness. We go immediately to thinking about what would be the very hardest things to forgive,
things that we just couldn't imagine forgiving that. Whereas most of the things we forgive are not the hardest things to forgive. We forgive daily. When our kids were young, I remember putting words into the air, something to the effect of, you can't have family without forgiveness. Oh, but she did this, but he did that, but I'm really mad, but I want to do this. That's every day. And as long as we're around each other, there are always going to be times where we feel taken for granted. We're going to bump into each other a lot. And so forgiveness is part and parcel of living our lives every day. I think that's why Jesus said to Peter, you know, you don't count the forgiveness times that you forgive so that you can just release at a certain point. That is a lifestyle. It's a way and a perspective of living life. That's forgiveness. There was a story that Pastor Gary reminded me of earlier this week when we were talking about forgiveness. And it was certainly one of those extremely difficult situations. Remember several years ago, there was a shooting in an Amish schoolhouse, and several children were killed by a very disturbed young man. And that very same day, because I remember being really shocked when people of the families who had lost children said, "We forgive this young man. We forgive him." They didn't even know at that point anything about his background and his own struggles. They said, "We forgive." And I myself remember thinking, I don't think I could do that, certainly not the day of. But when asked about it, they said, "We can only do this because we practice forgiveness every day. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our faith." I'm sure a part of it was offered not knowing how they could follow up on it, but knowing that that is the way that they're going to have to work through all of their hurt and their anger, that forgiveness is going to be part of that. Indeed, the families have developed a very close connection, especially with the young man's mother, and they've spoken to groups together. It has been part of the healing for everybody involved in that. They knew it was the pathway. I think even perhaps, probably before they even felt it, they knew of all of the options of responding, that the anger would just eat them up if they didn't go take it in a different direction. In our story that we read that ends in a disturbing way, even though we know this servant has it coming, and it said, "Put him there to be tortured and lock him up until all of the debt is paid." And then Jesus says, "And that's how my Father in heaven will deal with you." Now, I've tried to give myself some comfort, at least in this story, and saying, you know, reminding myself and others, until the debt is paid, what have we heard many times in church and Sunday school all of the years? Who's paid the debt? Jesus paid the debt for us, that the debt is already paid. And that was a way of telling people who saw all of their relationships as this kind of transaction. Everything is in terms of payback and what we're owed, and everything, if they do this, I have to do that. And in religion itself, if I do wrong, I have to pay God something. And if God is offended, then I'm going to have to pay the price or pay it back. And Jesus, and then later Paul, is saying, all of that is wiped away. Don't worry about that. It's not just that Jesus made some sort of transaction for us. He's saying God does not work in that way. If you're thinking that it is all a transaction, all about payback, all about what we are owed, all about retribution, that is not what our faith is about. For indeed, we're like that man at the beginning of the story, something we could never pay back. We are loved. We are forgiven. It's already there. So I imagine the tragedy of that man sitting there in his jail cell in great pain. And in fact, the door's open. He could have gone out at any time. That is the vision of our lives, the lives of so many people
who continue to stay in that prison cell of anger or of unforgiveness or of saying, I can't do it because this is exactly how I need to respond. But our faith is about new beginnings. It is utterly about breaking cycles, that same cycle of retribution and heartache, or of trying to, in order to get a blessing, I have to go do that. And God says, I have loved you. I have loved you already. I have already given you so much. This is our faith. It's about resurrections. And forgiveness is one of the key ways that we break those cycles, that we bring new life, that we bring that we restore relationships, that we reconcile people to each other. So we have choices every day on how we deal with things that are wrong, how we deal with our own anger, our own emotions. It may be our embarrassment. It may be our shame. And we are invited to act, to grow, to make new changes. That's the gift of our faith. So you thought you were just saying, don't let the turkeys bring you down, or don't go to bed. Don't go to bed angry. It is the strongest focus possible of our faith. So be released from the prison. Be released from anger. Feel new life and be freed. Amen. Now I'd like to invite you into a time of prayer together. And we'll sing together, and then Pastor Gary will share a pastoral prayer. And then following the Lord's prayer together, then we'll all sing together our prayer song.
With your peace, you alone, O God, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
O God, make us instruments of your forgiveness and peace in a world filled with strife and violence and unforgiveness between nations, between peoples. Make us instruments of your forgiveness and peace. In our nation that is sometimes torn apart politically and religiously, make us instruments of your forgiveness and peace. In homes that are experiencing strife and violence, show us the way to be instruments of your forgiveness and peace. In our personal relationships, day by day, and within ourselves, Lord, you are the way to give us guidance for peace and for forgiveness. Lord, even in these moments today, as the words of the scripture are still ringing in our ears, let your Spirit guide us into a peace that passes all understanding and a forgiveness that passes all understanding as well. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O God, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
In God's work of reconciliation and peace, God gives us the privilege and the opportunity to share in that work through our financial gifts. I would remind you as well of the fifth Sunday offering, that if you have some money in your pocket that you could put in there for those who are experiencing homelessness, please do that. And during this time of offering as well, if you have not yet used the friendship pads, that black covered pad that's in your row, please use that to indicate your presence here today as well.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because God's given Jesus.
God, we thank you that in all times, in all places, You give us the ability, you have resourced us to give something of ourselves to one another and to the world and to you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege of giving in your name until all may know and feel that they are included in your love. Amen.
We go forward now as blessed and very powerful people, people who have the power to make peace in their lives and in their hearts. Those who seek God by God's grace can reach out in reconciliation. Go and feel this Spirit in your hearts and in your lives. Amen.